Hendricks had woken up, but he hadn't moved. He watched Sonya with steady, beady eyes. "The woman," Sonya said, frowning. "What is she?" "Hurt," I said. Something like chagrin flickered over his features. "Da, of course. You would not bring her here if you thought her a danger." "Not to you or me," I said. "Tessa might have a different opinion." Sonya's eyebrows went up. "Is that how she was wounded?" "That was after she was wounded."
"Really?"
Sonya peered a little more closely at guard.
"Back off," Hendricks rumbled.
"Comrade."
Sonya flashed that swift smile again and displayed open palms to Hendricks. Michael nodded to Thomas. "Pull the truck around to the back of the house. With all this snow piled up, it should be hidden from the street."
"Thank you, Michael," I said.
He shook his head. "There's a heater in the workshop and a couple of folding cots. I'm not exposing the children to this."
"I understand."
"Do you?"
Michael asked gently. He thumped the truck's dented hood once, lightly, and waved Thomas toward the back of the house. 20 minutes later, we were all warm, if a bit crowded, in Michael's workshop. Guard lay on a couch, sleeping, her color improving almost visibly. Hendricks sat down with his back to the wall beside Guard's cot, presumably to stand watch, but he'd started snoring within a few minutes. Sonya, with the help of Molly and her siblings, was off rounding up food. I watched as Michael wrapped a carryall up in a clean white hanky embroidered with a silver cross, muttering a prayer under his breath the whole while. Then he slipped the hanky into a plain wooden box, also adorned with a silver cross.
"Excuse me," he said. "I need to secure this."
"Where do they keep those things?" Thomas asked, after Michael had departed.
I shrugged.
"Some big warehouse with a gazillion identical boxes, probably."
Thomas snorted.
"Don't even think it," I said. "It isn't worth it."
Thomas ran his gloved fingers over the white scarf.
"Isn't it?
You saw how these things operate. They'll manipulate your emotions and self-control, and something bad would happen to Justine. Or they'd wait until they had you hook, line, and sinker, and you were their meat puppet. And something bad would happen to Justine."
Thomas shrugged.
"I've got one demon in my head already. What's one more?"
I studied his profile.
"You've got one monster in your head already," I countered. "She barely survived it."
He was still for a moment. Then he slammed his elbow back against the workshop wall, a gesture of pure frustration. Wood splintered, and a little cold air whooshed in.
"Maybe you're right," he said in a dull voice.
"Holy crap," I said. An idea crystallized in my head, and a chill went down my spine. Thomas rubbed his elbow lightly.
"What?"
"I just had a really unpleasant thought." I gestured at Marcone's exhausted retainers. "I don't think that Anarians took Marcone so that they could erase him and make an example of him." My brother shrugged.
"Why else would they do it?"
I bit my lip, my stomach turning in uncomfortable flips.
"Because,"
I said, "maybe they want to recruit him."